Security Advisor Jake Sullivan.
We are thinking through, both in concert with Israel and then just as a country with our own citizens being held, what tools we have at our disposal to be able to get them out.
Eight Americans are still being held. The Supreme Court's considering whether a multi-billion dollar bankruptcy settlement by Purdue Pharma should give the Sackler family immunity from the opioid crisis. Chris Gannon's with the DOJ.
This release goes beyond what the statute authorizes as construed in its context, and it also conflicts with the basic nuts and bolts of the bankruptcy code's comprehensive scheme.
People are tipping more this holiday season. Bankrate's Ted Rossman.
Tipping amounts seem to have rebounded. Last year, they dipped in a big way. The theory is that inflation really cut into how much people could tip last year.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A bill in the legislature let anyone who wins more than $1 million in the lottery to claim their prize anonymously. The idea is to protect lottery winners from people who press them for money. 18 other states do it that way. Strategists say the next Wisconsin Supreme Court race will be a referendum on the new majority's upcoming rulings. Waukesha judge and former Republican Attorney General Brad Schimmel announced he's running last week.
Each one of these races is different. Ann Walsh Bradley, for example, will have a record of ruling on many cases that will have come before her that touch on these issues.
That's Patrick Garassi. He helped run Janet Protasiewicz's campaign. He was on Upfront on WISN-TV. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Tuesday, December 5th. In Wood County, the Operation Committee will meet at 9 a.m. The Wisconsin Rapids Finance and Property Committee will meet at 4. The City of Nakusa will hold the following meetings. The Public Works meeting at 5, Property, Recreation, and Human Affairs at 5:30, and the Personnel meeting at 6. The Village of Port Edwards will hold their Village Board public hearing on the 2024 budget at 7, followed by their regular monthly meeting. The Town of Grand Rapids Legislative Committee will meet at 5. In Portage County, the Traffic Safety Commission will meet at 10, the Executive Operations Committee at 5, and the Land and Water Conservation Committee will meet at 7. In Adams County, the Land and Water UWEX Committee meeting will take place at 1. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News. The morning show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
It's also worth mentioning that Google has basically become a monopoly of the search engines.
We've never seen this before, where a company is just kind of like owning it. And like, yeah, we are, but what are you going to do?
That's no defense, by the way.
No.
You got nothing then.
What are they paying their attorneys? Hey, Google, search engine, how to find a good attorney.
Weekdays from 8 to 10, right here on Locally Grown Radio.
Packers upset the Chiefs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers were 5.5-point underdogs to the Kansas City Chiefs. They proved the odds makers wrong. Green Bay 27, the Chiefs 19. Christian Watson with 2 touchdown catches before he had to leave the game with a hamstring injury.
I just think the offense as a whole is clicking a lot more. I think we found our groove. It's been showing.
The Chiefs have now fallen to 8-4, and they host the Bills next week. Quarterback Patrick Mahomes.
I mean, obviously we're not where we want to be yet, but I feel like we're close. We're playing a lot of good football teams really well. Be focused on another challenge this next week coming at Arrowhead.
College football, the Wisconsin Badgers will face the LSU Tigers in the ReliaQuest Bowl, formerly the Outback Bowl in Tampa. The kickoff 11 a.m. on New Year's Day. The Badgers with a record of 7-5 against the Tigers at 9-3. Luke Fickell says his team will remain physical.
We all know what this program's been built on, right? It doesn't mean it has to change.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Overcast skies tonight with snow likely. Lows of aloft around 26. Southeasterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Chance of snow tomorrow 37. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 33.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
On the Badger Sports Network from Learfield, this is the Greg Gard Show, brought to you by Monk's Bar and Grill, Wisconsin grown, Wisconsin proud. Monk's Bar and Grill is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. And by SeatGeek, official ticket marketplace of the Wisconsin Badgers. Now, here's your host, the voice of the Badgers, Matt LePay.
Welcome in to the Greg Gard Show. Pardon my voice, but the guy whose voice matters most, he's in good form as we visit with head coach Greg Gard. Badgers getting ready to open Big Ten play on Tuesday night, going to the Breslin Center in East Lansing to take on Michigan State, and then stepping out of conference on Saturday afternoon in Tucson against the number one team in the country this week, Arizona. Badgers coming off the win against third-ranked Marquette on Saturday. That was fun. We were talking before the game. The students lined up. Donuts always work. Area Red was well-nourished, but the Saturday afternoon game atmosphere, I mean, it's why people need to be watching college basketball before the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's, it's a great home and home. As you know, I've kind of become a fan have always been a fan of those, the true home and home series, and obviously that one's ongoing and one we have coming up at the end of the week starting with Arizona. But, I think it's great college basketball environment. You mentioned time of day was perfect, so you still have the rest of your day, and it's kind of a little throwback feel in terms of a Saturday afternoon or late morning and a highly contested game and a great atmosphere.
It is one of those games that the fans obviously always get into, and the players. And you know, Marquette has one guy from Wisconsin in the rotation. Obviously the Badgers have you know, with Max, and you know, they're a bit Carter Gilmore, and there's certainly others, Kamari McGee. But even if you're not from here, you find out in a hurry what it means to people here, don't you?
You do, you know, and I think that's, you know, because we're so close in terms of proximity, there's and the fact that it's ongoing, you know, it's played year after year after year. Hasn't been pauses in it in the last, you know, 25, 30 years. So I think it's good. It's healthy to continue to grow and put the spotlight on the game of basketball in the state. And Saturday was definitely no exception.
I mentioned Max Klesman. What a first half he had shooting the ball, getting 21 points, hitting 5 threes. I had to remind myself, he was a pretty good three-point shooter last year. I know that the numbers weren't great for him starting the season, but always have to ask guys like that, what's it like to feel like you're in the zone? Because he was in one of the
He definitely, and you talk about a guy that was, you know, the Wisconsin Marquette game and being from the state, I think that you could tell he was wound a little extra tight, you know, in preparation for that. And it means something, which is neat to see, and as it should. But obviously for him being from the state, it was at another level, and he performed, you know, he had a great defensive assignment with Cam Jones, and you know, then offensively, you know, was able to really get it going and carried us in the first half.
Yeah, he was definitely feeling it, no doubt. And defensively, because Marquette is a really, really good team, and that cannot be lost. But to be able to hold them to 42%, I think they ended up exactly 1 point per possession, maybe in the game.
Actually, they were under. Slightly under.
And that probably doesn't happen to Marquette very often, does it?
Probably hasn't happened this year.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Yes. That's been, you know, from the Virginia game really stands out. Certainly the defensive work, and that has been an area that you've seen a fair amount of growth here so far.
Yeah, I think, you know, we probably even before the Virginia game, I started to see signs of it, that we do it in small sound bites, so to speak. But the Virginia game is probably the most complete game that, you know, from the start of the season up until then, that we had had put together defensively specifically. And when you get some things going defensively, it naturally fuels your offense. You feel good about what you're doing on the other end. You have some confidence and some swagger to you. So there are, you know, we've definitely gotten better. I think that we're going to continue to get challenged. There's areas we have to still get better in, but I'm happy with the progression of what we've made, you know, since that trip to Providence.
That's the exciting part of this. As well as you guys have been playing, you know, and these players know they can still even be better, right?
Yeah, and I think that's the one thing we keep chasing and keep pushing, is that how not only can we get better, but we have to get better, you know, and I think this group still has quite a ways they can grow on both ends of the floor. I think our bench has helped us. I think our starters are getting better. Individually, guys have made progression. AJ Storr being, you know, I treat him or view him as a freshman, even though he's already played a year, but his growth and understanding of what we're trying to do is evident. And he's part of why we've gotten, you know, making those jumps defensively, because he's in better position. And the other pieces around him are obviously, we're getting tied together better in our connection. Activity defensively is better.
We talked last week about the offensive rebounding numbers, and that was really big again for Wisconsin. The second chance points, 18-2. And a guy like AJ, you know, you see the 5-for-14, but he can break defenses down. Even when he's not making the shot, he's still drawing traffic, right? That creates opportunity.
Yeah. I mean, and he, you know, he's a threat to, you know, he's kind of like that home run back, you know, that he can pound the line, all of a sudden he gets a crack and he's in the end zone. So, you know, he's like that, where he puts a lot of pressure on the defense in terms of his ability to just explode at any given time, obviously in transition. And, you know, he had the one dunk in transition on the lob from Chucky, but that's an excitement builder, an energy builder. You know, the roof goes off of this place and it permeates. Even though it's one play, it helps invigorate, you know, obviously our crowd, but also teammates as well. And guys feed off that.
You mentioned to the media after the game on Saturday, it's important for your guys to really understand how good of a team this can be. And, you know, there's a lot of outside stuff, and all you have to do is pick up your phone and you get a lot of unrequested critiques. But it's important. You know, we think of coaching, it's always about you're doing this wrong, that wrong. Well, that's part of it, but it's not all of it. You got to tell them the good stuff too. Right?
You do. And I think I find myself fighting that outside negativity more than ever. And it's not that we are perfect. We got to continue to get better. But I think I've just noticed in today's generation, there's a lot of self-doubt can creep in really quick. And there's a lot of ways that happens, but just to combat that and not over saturate them with false positives, you know, it has to be real, but them understanding it and then believing. How I think that's the one thing that I watched with this group grow is their belief in what we're doing and in each other and ultimately, how good this team can be.
We talk a lot of times about how the best teams are player driven, and I think that could have a lot of layers to it, but maybe in that regard too, right? A guy like Tyler Wall and, you know, and Chucky and Max, guys who've been around the college game and have probably had to absorb some of that, probably do a good job of telling the younger guys, hey, just, you know, listen to what your coaches are saying and then just lock in on that.
Yeah, they do. They do a good job of that. And also not only listen to your coaches, but they are able to command the huddles and really kind of get after it, so to speak, on the court before we get to a huddle. So I think that's the one thing that I've watched grow from last year, maybe that you don't see an actual play, is just watching the voices and the leadership kind of grow. And Max is part of that. Tyler, I think, is becoming more and more comfortable. And we've challenged Chucky to really, because the ball in his hands is in his hands so much, he has to really convey and project, not only from a vocal standpoint, but a body language standpoint of how he carries himself. And I think they feed off of that, and I think it's a good combination of those three guys specifically. And I think actually I have to credit Carter Gilmore, because he's really, even though he maybe doesn't play the minutes that those other three do, he's really in tune with what this team needs and when.
It was good to get him back out there, right? 10 plus minutes after not being available on Monday.
You never find him making mistakes. He covers up for a lot of other people's mistakes at times, specifically defensively. And again, he's just cerebral and vocal. And I think on the court or off the court, you know, he adds to things that this team needs.
Yeah, he really is someone who is, you talk about the culture of a program, he really understands it here. The other thing that your guys are understanding, you mentioned it on Media Day, is wanting to get to the foul line more. Not only did you get there, you knocked him down. What, 24 out of 28? You're on a good pace. You're looking for, best case scenario, 25 or so attempts a game. You're not far from that right now, so that's encouraging.
Yeah, that would be, I mean, if you could be at 25, probably any coach in the country would take 25 attempts a game. So that's, you know, we'll take it. We got to continue to find ways to get there and finish when we get there. But I like the fact that we're going to contact. We're not shying away from it. We're being physical, and we need to continue to do that and grow that.
All right, Badgers hitting the road, as we mentioned. The Big Ten opener sprinkled between Marquette and Arizona. As we talked about before, somebody has a sense of humor, I guess, in the Big Ten office. Michigan State tomorrow night, 6 o'clock tip Central Time, and then Arizona coming up on Saturday in Tucson. We'll talk about how that home-and-home series came about, and we'll get you updated on the Spartans as well. A bit later in tonight's program, we'll check in with Badgers grad student Tyler Wall. Great start for him this season, 10.7 rebounds on Saturday afternoon against Marquette. And we'll also chat with Brian Butch. All of that coming up, and more with Coach Gard in a couple of minutes on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
This basketball season, let LRS be your MVP in the waste diversion and recycling industry. There won't be any turnovers when it comes to the services that LRS provides its valued customers, especially with services such as waste and recycling collection for businesses, roll-off dumpster rentals, and portable restrooms that are perfect for any construction, renovation, or outdoor event. See the LRS difference by choosing the team with over 2,000 dedicated employees that puts trust and reliability first. LRS, Wisconsin's local waste and recycling leader. Burgers stacked with mushrooms on Wisconsin Swiss cheese, or piled high with smoked brisket, crispy bacon, Wisconsin Gouda, lettuce, tomato, sweet barbecue sauce, and a fried pickle, or simply topped with cheese and fried onions, Monk's Bar and Grill offers classic and gourmet burgers for lunch, dinner, and game day. Whatever you are craving, Monk's has you covered with 6 locations statewide. Monk's Bar and Grill is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
Expand your tool set with professional power tools from Menards. Metabo represents the gold standard in nailers and cordless power tools. Whether you're at home or on the job site, tackle any building project with Metabo. Power tools make great gifts. Grab the cordless 18-gauge brad nailer, ideal for trim work and molding installation, now on sale for $199.99. Sale price good through December 11th. Plus, a Menards gift card is always a great gift idea.
SeatGeek's the ticketing app for fans like the sideline shot caller.
Come on, boys, pick up the pace!
SeatGeek got him a great deal on seats right near the action, so when he yells,
"What are you doing? Block him!"
he can be absolutely sure the players heard him. SeatGeek handles the tickets to sports, concerts, and more, so fans can fan.
How do you master the game of basketball? With ingenuity. By creating new opportunities to turn post-ups into layups, spin moves into easy steals, press breaks into fast breaks. At UW Health, we use the same ingenuity to treat injuries. We built a team of the greatest minds in sports medicine, constantly innovating for the future of sports treatment. As the Badgers' official team doctors, we're dedicated to delivering advanced care every day so any athlete can stay on their A game. UW Health. Remarkable.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon. Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
We continue with the Greg Gard Show, the Badgers and the Spartans tomorrow night in East Lansing. Some things probably don't change a lot with Michigan State. They're you kind of know what you're going to get, right?
Right.
There might be some new faces, but the formula remains the formula for coaches.
It is. You know, it's going to be a challenging transition defensively. We got to get back and get the ball stopped and get the rim protected. Obviously, a terrific player in Tyson Walker that's just off to a great start. And I think their three-point shooting is, I don't want to believe the numbers. I think they're better than what they've shot at so far. And they guard and they play hard and they're going to be on the offensive glass. So that those things don't change, as you mentioned. But Malik Hall, a guy that we've seen a lot, you know, and is a veteran there. And Akins, and you go on down the road, Hoggard is back. So a really veteran backcourt, and then you throw in Malik Hall's, I think, year four or five. And just a team that's playing hard and has played an unbelievable schedule, too. I mean, two of their three losses are Duke and Arizona on neutral court. So we know we're going to have to be really, really good tomorrow night.
And Malik Hall missed a good chunk of last season, battled a foot injury, which hampered them. And I think we may have talked about Michigan State a few weeks ago. You know, the first couple of games, the three-point shooting was, I mean, it was in the single digits. But I think even Coach Izzo said that it wasn't like they were jacking up a lot of forced stuff. They were rhythm threes, and as you said, they're too good.
I think they led the Big Ten in 3-point shooting last year, and were top whatever in the country in free throw percentage. So you have a lot of the same guys. So it, you know, as a coach, that there are times when you're going to go through ruts where maybe you shoot it at a lower percentage than what you really are, and there's going to be times when you shoot it at a higher percentage than what you really are. So you try not to, you know, don't ride the you got to ride the flow a little bit. Don't get too concerned with it, making sure you're taking the good shots. And I'm not gonna, like I said, I'm not gonna believe those numbers and scheme accordingly. But we'll have to guard really well.
They have the new faces: Jeremy Fears, Xavier Booker, Cohen Carr. What do you see from these new additions they've got?
Well, I mean, Fears is just like a normal Michigan State point guard that's just gonna come at you in transition. I think it's still learning, you know, what they're doing and those things. The same thing with Trey Holloman is a sophomore now, backing up Hoggard at the point. So, and Booker, I saw him a lot in AAU. I mean, he was, you know, a top five recruit in the country. I think he's adjusting to the physicality of the college game right now. And Cohen Carr, you don't want to get in a dunk contest with him, Matt. I mean, have we seen... The highlights are real. That's so, you know, I think they're all those younger guys, like our younger guys, are still finding their feet, so to speak, and what the college game is like and what being successful at a high level takes. And I think that's much like we watched, you know, John Blackwell and Nolan Winter go through it for us. I think they're going through some of the same growing pains that at times, you know, they look like $1 million, and sometimes they don't. So, like us, they've got vets ahead of them that can really help them and show them the ropes.
Boy, one thing we're finding in college basketball, I mean, obviously you guys have played a very, very difficult schedule, as has Michigan State, as has Marquette. But, you know, unlike college football, where it might be six teams trying to get four spots, it's a little bit more expansive in college basketball, right? I mean, anybody, it truly is that anybody can knock off anybody.
Yeah, I think there's way more parity. You know, I think we've seen that with, you know, it's not only the transfer portal gets some of that credit, but the parity was coming before the portal really even got here. I mean, the three-point shot is part of that. I think you're limited to 13 scholarships per school. So, you know, there's just a lot of good players, you know, it's a completely different animal in terms of the parity component than what college football is. And speaking of college football, how about that playoff? How about to go undefeated and
Florida
State? Wow. But anyway, it's a topic for a different show. the parity and, you know, like I said, just the all those combinations coming together make college basketball. You know, it's why you get to March. They call it March Madness because it kind of drives people crazy on the outcomes at times.
Yeah, at least it's 68 teams with basketball, but injuries affect seed lines too, right?
Absolutely.
We've seen that with when Butchie got hurt. Did that maybe knock you down?
It might have. Yeah, you know? It might have. It definitely, if he doesn't get hurt, I think we win at Ohio State. We're probably a one.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, those things happen. That's the life that you have to learn to deal with when you're when you're in athletics.
Yeah, one of the real famous or infamous cases would happen to Cincinnati when Bob Huggins was there. I think it was like 2000 or 2001.
Yeah, Kenyon Martin.
Kenyon Martin gets hurt, cost him a line, and just how things. Yeah, if you're Florida State, you're right. It's sort of a. I'm cheating. It's a different topic for a different day, even though I'm delving into it. But yeah, you're 13-0. Congratulations. Sorry about your quarterback.
Yeah.
Good luck in a non-playoff game. It's
that's a tough pill.
What would you tell your players?
Well, I don't agree with that from a standpoint because they still went 13-0 without their quarterback. So why are the backups being dissed, so to speak? I mean, backup came in. I don't even know who he is, but he obviously did a good enough job that they kept winning. So why are we penalizing because of maybe somebody got hurt? So what? I mean, there's a lot of. I mean, they still won. If they lost, then okay. But aren't we into results of winning and losing? Isn't that what's supposed to matter?
I think so.
And maybe there's a strength of schedule thing. I don't know. The ACC wasn't not as strong at.
You can kind of spin it however you want.
Yeah, you can.
I just hope Jordan Love doesn't get hurt because the NFL playoff selection committee might take that into account if they're on the edge of getting into the playoffs. So pardon my sarcasm there. Arizona coming up. We'll cheat, look ahead here. Just give us an idea of how this came about because getting these home and homes, they all sound great, but it's probably kind of tricky to actually get accomplished.
It is. It just by happen chance, Tommy Lloyd and I were at the 2022 Final Four. I was at an awards ceremony for Johnny Davis for the Player of the Year, and he and Tommy was there. He had just taken the Arizona job, and I think he was there supporting one of the Gonzaga players. Memory doesn't serve me well here, but anyway, we just got chatting about it, and he hadn't been at Arizona more than a handful of weeks. It wasn't very long. And said something about, hey, I'd like to play. You ever want to play at home? And I was like, oh, yeah. I hear it from my fans all the time that, they remember 14 and 15.
Yes,
he goes, I wasn't there, but they all claim they were there. So I said, hey, let's just stay in touch here. And if it works, I think it'd be a great one. And he agreed and kind of left it at that. And then we had casual conversation. Mark Van de Wettering, who does my scheduling with their scheduler. And then it came on quick this past spring where they were going to need a home game. We looked at what we needed and maybe it's a year early starting it because we were finishing up the Tennessee schedule or that contract. But we also knew we needed a marquee home game next year, not knowing what was going to happen at that time with the Gavitt Cup. That's going to go away. So it just that's how it kind of came to just a casual conversation at an awards social. And here we are.
Yeah, they look loaded the way they play.
I probably wouldn't have agreed if I would have known that they were going to be this good.
Yeah, their game with Michigan State was a great watch. They were out in Palm Springs right down to the wire. Got about a minute or so left. Those, I know it has nothing to do with what's going to happen Saturday, but those games with Arizona were classic. If you didn't have a dog in a fight, you're watching that game. Both of them, aren't you?
Yeah, both of them. I mean, both teams probably, well, obviously we went Final Four worthy. That's Arizona probably was too. They rolled through their season, and ironically, we met each year in the regional final.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, the first time around, the one in Anaheim, I think it was a one possession game the entire second half and in overtime. 3 points max, and then one of the memorable shots a year later, Sam Decker hitting a three right in front of Bo Ryan, who,
right.
He rode Sam, got the best out of him. He rode him, but even the old boy could do nothing but a little pat in the back.
Yeah, you know, when you have the horses, you let them run.
Yeah.
And no. Sam definitely, that was a capper there as he hit that thing, I think, in transition and kind of blew that, got us enough breathing room down the stretch there.
Well, it's going to be fun. I mean, obviously, it's going to be beautiful weather out there, and, Badger fans will be there and all that stuff, but the intensity of the game, just another way to get your guys ready, right?
Yeah, it's another awesome opportunity for us. It's, we're taking the schedule. We got to go to East Lansing first. I know we're trying to forecast a little bit here, but yeah, it'll be awesome for us just to play against a terrific team and get another measuring stick of where we need to grow and how good we are. We're going to learn a lot.
No doubt. A lot of that. And as you mentioned, the conference opener tomorrow night. We'll take a break. When we continue, we'll check in with Badgers big Tyler Wall back in a couple of minutes on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Snow brings thoughts of ways to stay busy in Wisconsin during the winter. And if you anticipate hitting the slopes, are you surprised to learn there are more than 36 ski resorts across the state? It ranges from Wilmot Mountain, which opened in 1938 in Kenosha County, to Mount La Crosse Ski Area with one of the longest runs in Wisconsin. Granite Peak offers 58 runs outside Wausau, and Wild Mountain Ski Area and its 7 lifts near Hayward. Now, do you know which of those resorts sits on the highest slope? The answer coming up. Recreational skiing started in the Midwest. The Lost Ski Areas Project reports the first documentation of actual downhill skiers happened in Beloit in 1841. So which resort sits on the highest slope today? It's Granite Peak near Wausau and boasts 400 acres at a 700-foot vertical drop. The fun and history of skiing is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Haven't been checking out Director's Cut lately? Well, here's some of the guests you may have missed.
Local legend from Four on the Floor, musical magician, one of my favorites, Pete Ravel. Michael Charles, Chicago Blues Hall of Fame, a man who has played with Buddy Guy. Bria Krieger joining us, a local artist.
To welcome to the WFHR stage, the legends, the lizards themselves.
Best-selling author, Mystery Science Theater 3000 legend, Midwest Zone, Mary Jo Peel.
Director's Cut, every Sunday night from 8 to 9 on Locally Grown Radio.
In Iraq, our truck hit a roadside bomb. I had about 16 surgeries on my hand so that I could regain function. And when I came home, I needed a new roof due to a storm. And my electrical was deemed unsafe. And I was about to lose homeowner's insurance as well. I didn't really know where to go in order to get help. And so I applied for Operation Homefront Critical Financial Assistance Program. They've really been a blessing. Operation Homefront is a safety net. A lot of veterans, they fall through the cracks sometimes. And Operation Homefront, they catch us. It's been a blessing to us. It's a blessing to other veteran families. And it's good to know that when we come home, there are people who are there that care about us and want to see us do well and want to see us succeed. And we feel it and we appreciate that. I would say you guys are angels behind closed doors.
Visit OperationHomefront.org to learn more.
Smiles are powerful. They spread joy, laughter, and hope. But not everyone gets a fair chance at a smile. Every 3 minutes, a baby is born with a cleft, making it difficult to talk, hear, eat, and even breathe. In America, most children with clefts receive immediate care, but others around the world may never have access to the surgery they need to thrive. SmileTrain is changing that. As the world's largest cleft charity, our sustainable model has sponsored more than 1.5 million smiles. We offer training and financial support to local medical professionals so they can provide life-changing surgery and other essential services at no cost to families.
It's more than to see these children, to hear the difference that we make. And for me, being born with a cleft lip and palate, knowing what they went through is so life-changing for me.
Help us change the world one smile at a time. To learn more, visit smiletrain.org/learn.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Overcast skies tonight with snow likely. Lows of aloft around 26. Southeasterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Chance of snow tomorrow 37. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 33.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
We continue with the Greg Gard Show as the Badgers get ready for the Tuesday night Big Ten opening matchup against Michigan State at the Breslin Center in East Lansing. In a few minutes, we'll hear from my broadcast partner, Brian Butch. But right now, we check in with Tyler Wall, the graduate student out of Lakeville, Minnesota, off to a really nice start this season, averaging 11.5 points, 5.5 rebounds per game. And of those 5.5 rebounds, 2.5 on average come on the offensive glass. The work that he and Steven Krause specifically are doing in the area of offensive rebounding has been very, very important to this team's success. Winners of 5 straight games. You look back at the Marquette game and the second chance points heavily in favor of the home team. 18 17-2 as the Badgers grabbed 15 offensive rebounds in that game. It's also no secret that Tyler Wahl is a healthier guy than he was for most of last season. Had the injury in that Minnesota game in early January, and it was really hard for him to be at peak Tyler Wahl levels the rest of the season. So he is healthy, he's refreshed, he's had a great summer, and that's paying off. And also paying off for this team is his veteran savvy. I asked Tyler what's the best piece of advice he gives to the newer players into this Wisconsin Badgers program.
I feel like I've said this for a few years now, especially to the freshmen, where you come into the program, you're used to being the guy, you're used to always kind of, oh, you mess up, turn it over, you don't really get yelled at too much, or you'll just get talked to. And then you come here and it might be a little different. So one thing that I usually tell these young guys is listen to coach, take the message, and maybe not necessarily the way that he's presenting it to you. So I think that's the number one thing that I say to them.
It seems like they do a pretty good job of that, too. I mean, the way that they have performed here so far, they're listening to you. It sounds like, are they? It seems like they are.
I mean, shoot, I try to tell them something. Some things they listen, some things go in one ear, out the other, for sure.
That leadership thing, I know I talked to Max Klesman about that before the season, his second year here, but you could see he kind of coaches on the floor. I get a sense that you've really kind of embraced that role yourself, you, Chucky, Stevie. Am I seeing that right?
I mean, yeah. When you've been here for a few years, you know how things are supposed to look, both offensively and defensively. You know, you're supposed to take care of the ball. So when you see things that aren't really necessarily right, it could be a young guy messing it up or a transfer or even one of the older guys. Like me and Max the other day, we had like a conversation on the bench in the middle of the game, just going over something. And so I think it's a big key to communicate those things.
One of the things that you guys seem to have a knack for right now is not panicking when things aren't going well. You kind of stay with it. I think of the SMU game down at Fort Myers where the outside shot wasn't falling, and then eventually it did, but you guys were finding other ways. That's a pretty good sign of a mature team. You guys take a lot of pride in that, right? Just kind of sticking with the plan, doing what you need to do?
I mean, yeah, last year we saw it. We were in a bunch of games at the end, and that was just from sticking to the plan. And now we got a few more guys off the bench. We got a deeper team. And so now when we get in those situations, we feel like we've been there before. We got a lot of older guys with a lot of experience. And so it's just another walk in the park.
I know we've seen you. There's always – every team has wrinkles. We're seeing you in some attack mode right now, offensively, as opposed to back to the basket. I mean, that's probably right in your wheel. I mean, either way it can work, but – right. This attack thing is probably right in your wheelhouse, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a little more fun, especially when they give me a little space. I can kind of get a run and start at them. And at that point, I feel like I've done my time in the weight room. I've done my time in the gym. And at that point, you just got to trust your instincts and go make a play.
Yeah, it feels good to feel good, too, right? I mean, did you ever, after what happened with the injury in early January, were you even close to 100% the rest of the way? I mean, you played through a lot last year.
Right. I mean, At the time, I didn't really know where you feel like you're all right, you're good to go. If I can walk, like I'm good. You're gonna catch me in between those lines. But taking a couple weeks off, getting my body right, getting in the training room, all kinds of stuff. I feel like a couple weeks after, when it all settled down, I knew I was coming back and everything. It just felt like a cloud lifted. And that was cloud lifted from above my head, and that's just. Rest, being healthy again, and not really having the stress of everything else that's going on along with the injury.
Yeah, I was going to say, once that decision is made, that's a great point because, you know, obviously Chucky and then guys across the country, once the decision is made and it's just go time, you are going to stay here in Wisconsin, that is like, you know, like, wow, fresh air, like a big load off your shoulders where you could just go be a college guy, go play and have fun again, right? Big
100%. Relief. 100%. I mean, this is where I wanted to be, and so having the stress of just the decision itself, that lifted off my shoulders, and then just the joy of enjoying another year here, seeing all my teammates, all my coaches, have my family be able to come to the game again, just overall joy, and so I think that helped a little bit too.
You can take it in a little bit more even now. I mean, you always try to take it in, but I get the impression, maybe I talked to your folks, like you're really trying to embrace everything that goes with this,
yeah.
Maybe more than ever. Right?
I mean, for sure. I know we finished running that hill, and I definitely gave it one last look coming down where I was like, oh, I'd never have to run this again.
Also, so next year, just for fun, you're not going to do that? I can't believe that.
I don't think so.
I was talking to Kamari McGee about the schedule you guys have is something. I mean, for a fan, it's unbelievable. And I think players live for this, too. But you're always learning about yourself. And he said one of the things he's learned is that you can compete with anybody. Like when you guys are clicking, that seems like a pretty fair answer, right? When you guys are, nobody has to be superhuman necessarily, but when you're playing to the capabilities each individual has, you guys feel like you can match up with anybody on your schedule, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like when you got five guys out there and they're all bought into doing what's good for the team, that just gives not only the players confidence, not only the coaches confidence, but I feel like everyone in the arena. And then we just kind of build off of that. We've seen ourselves stick around with these good teams and also beat a few good teams, and then we're just going to continue to keep looking and keep that rolling.
It seems like part of the beauty of this team, and we all know that Chucky's a great closer and he's never afraid to take the big shot, but there's a lot of guys here, and yourself included, are double digit scorers per game. I mean, you know, Chucky will obviously have his opportunities, mm-hmm. but it's kind of good to know that, right? It could be you, it could be Max, it could be Stevie. Opponents got a lot on their plate trying to figure out who's going to take the big shot, don't they?
I think that just speaks to how good Chucky is. I mean, he's out there controlling the game most of the time. And then I feel like when it gets down to that crunch time, defenders don't really want to help out too much. So it's really Chucky one-on-one. And so I'm sure we'll get teams mixing it up where they'll throw some guys at him or help out a little bit. And it's just going to be on us to make some plays.
It's, you know, Coach Gard mentioned this over the summer. I mean, you've been a part of two Big Ten championship teams. As we talk, it's really early. But that's a carrot, isn't it? I mean, if you have a chance to be maybe like a party of one, to be a part of something like that, that's pretty intriguing, isn't it?
I mean, yeah, that is really exciting. I mean, that's always our goal every year, win the Big Ten, make it to the tournament, and make a deep run. And so it's still intact. Goal's still intact. We're going to keep going at it, and it's just going to be every day. And so we're going to have to come in here every day, work hard, push each other, whether that's the guys on the scout team, whether it's the guys off the bench. We're just going to have to show up and get it done every single day.
And as a team last year, yeah, obviously you want to get in the NCAA tournament, but you guys played well in the NIT. You made a deep run there. When you looked back on it, thinking, okay, this was good. This was good for us to keep playing, keep being around each other, and see how far we could take it. A lot more positives than negatives out of that, weren't there?
Yeah, 100%, especially coming out of that Big Ten tournament. We haven't been playing the best ball. We'd lost a few straight. So just kind of building that momentum back up and pushing it into this year was a huge thing for us.
Final question about the young guys. Obviously, John Blackwell's made quite an impression and then Nolan Winter, and then all the new guys. Has there been anybody that when you first were, you know, working out over the summer to now, is there somebody who's like, wow, better than I thought? Knew he was good, but even better than I thought?
I think a guy who's not going to really get a whole lot of credit or you're not going to hear about is Jack Janicki, the freshman walk-on for our squad. He shows up. He pushes us every single day. He's got a good basketball mind. He works hard in the weight room, works hard in school, and so you're just going to, I feel like at that point, you're just going to continue to see him grow and grow and maybe eventually start playing it a little bit. So
there you go. It's good to know. By the way, I'd say I'm going to cheat one more question on top of that. Janicki is not from Lakeville North, Minnesota guy, but obviously, that remains a great program for the Badgers, including Jack Robinson coming here next year. I asked Nolan this: Why is that such a good program? What makes your old high school so good?
I feel like our head coach does a great job involving the youth and putting on youth camps early on. When you're in kindergarten and first grade, when there's maybe not a whole lot of basketball camps going on, he'll have a couple of days throughout the summer where it's their time. It's the kindergartner and the first graders, and then the camps just keep ramping up and up as you get older. And along with that, like, he's a great coach, and he's kind of got the same philosophies as Coach Gard does here. And so I think that transition from Lakeville North over to here is pretty easy.
That's the Badgers' Tyler Wall as he and Stephen Crowell and everybody else getting ready for Michigan State on Tuesday night in East Lansing, Michigan. Hopefully my voice will be back when we return. We'll check in with my broadcast partner, Brian Butch, in a couple of minutes as the Greg Gard Show continues on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Burgers stacked with mushrooms on Wisconsin Swiss cheese, or piled high with smoked brisket, crispy bacon, Wisconsin Gouda, lettuce, tomato, sweet barbecue sauce, and a fried pickle, or simply topped with cheese and fried onions, Monk's Bar and Grill offers classic and gourmet burgers for lunch, dinner, and game day. Whatever you are craving, Monk's has you covered with 6 locations statewide. Monk's Bar and Grill is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
SeatGeek's the ticketing app for fans like the sideline shot caller.
Come on, boys!
SeatGeek got him a great deal on seats right near the action. So when he yells,
"What are you doing? Book him!"
he can be absolutely sure the players heard him. SeatGeek handles the tickets to sports, concerts, and more, so fans can fan.
Any team can be conquered with the right playbook. It takes human ingenuity to craft and adapt the plays that will defeat even the strongest opponents. The moves that dominate on the field, the court, the ice. And cancer treatment is no different. That's why UW Health Carbone Cancer Center uses ingenuity to combat complex cancers. As the number one cancer hospital in Wisconsin, we're proud to write the playbook on fighting cancer, so you always have the number one team in your corner. UW Health. Remarkable.
Are you ready for Badger basketball? Because it's time to get geared up. We're all coming together for those amazing on-the-court moments. Shields is right there with you, cheering our team on to victory. So suit up in your Badger red and white with fan gear from Shields, in-store or online. And let's get ready for Badger basketball. Shields, proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics and basketball fans everywhere.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon. Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
Which schools will take home the prestigious Learfield Directors Cup for the 2023-24 college athletic season? You can follow the standings of your favorite school or alma mater at L Directors Cup on Twitter and online at TheDirectorsCup.com. That's TheDirectorsCup.com and L Directors Cup on Twitter. Trophies will be awarded in June 2024 to the winning institutions in all competitive divisions. Learfield Directors Cup, the crowning achievement in college athletics.
We continue with the Greg Gard Show as this daunting stretch continues. Badgers coming off the big win on Saturday against Marquette, which we could talk about that a little bit. They got Michigan State coming up on Tuesday night and then obviously going out to Arizona on Saturday. We talked about before the game, Butchie, the in-state rivalries, what it means. I mean, the bottom line is Marquette is fine. They're going to have a really good year. But I think we're learning more and more about this Badgers team where they said we think they're pretty good. Well, they showed how good they are capable of being on Saturday.
Well, I think the biggest thing is they were themselves. Mm-hmm. I think when Marquette made their run, they got out of what they do. But they realized it early enough to change it. Not every team can do that. And to me, that's what I take away from it. I thought Chucky did a good job of reading when it was getting away. Let's get back to it. I thought Greg did a good enough job of reading when it was getting away to say, okay, let's call it. He talked to us after the game. He goes, yeah, maybe I needed to call a couple of plays to get us back to where we need to be. But that's what great coaches do. And I think Chucky, understanding that as well, got the guys back to what they needed to be about, and that was getting the ball in the post, playing good defense, and then making it happen from there.
Probably the benefit, too, of being a veteran team like this, you know, with the work on the glass again by Crowell and Wall, but being able to withstand a wave like that, if you're you hear a lot of conversation in basketball. Sometimes you get too old. I think this team showed the age of the experience in a positive way to hold the run.
Well, in a positive way, and they've added new pieces.
Yes.
John Blackwell comes in, has a big impact. A.J. Stewart comes in, still very young, right? Not necessarily the understanding the way Wisconsin plays and learning that still. So that's a new guy, right? So there's enough newness that's put in with guys that have been here a while that have kind of made this team grow together.
You need everybody, as you talked about during the game, you need the group, but sometimes it helps just to have playmakers too. We saw that with Johnny Davis here a couple of years ago. We've seen it with a number of others. Sometimes you just need somebody to go make a play, and that's where AJ really stepped in.
Well, really, I thought that's where AJ, he did a good job of understanding how to attack the closeouts, play, didn't necessarily finish all the time. Right, but created enough help where now you're all of a sudden getting opportunities for offensive rebound opportunities and playing that way. And I think that's where last year it would have probably stuck, and you would have 8 seconds on the shot clock, high pick and roll. All right, now can we make a play? Right, so that's a little bit different, and that's where you have to credit not only the players for making the play, but this coaching staff for addressing it. Mm-hmm. Like, they knew what it was. It wasn't and not that those were always bad. They won a good amount of games by doing that, too, because Chuck can close out games.
Yeah, he's got a little knack for that.
Right? But understanding that now, putting it all together, that's an area that we can improve on, and then going, getting in somebody where they can improve, and give credit to those guys for doing that.
All right, now it's on the road here a couple of times, including Tuesday against Michigan State. It seems like we say this a fair amount about Michigan State. They might take a couple of losses early, and you go, ooh, what's wrong with them? And I'm thinking not a ton, I mean, they played Arizona to the wire. Jaden Akins got a roll in the second half of that game, and I know they fell short, but Tom Izzo coach teams, as cliche as it is, when they need to be right, they generally figure out a way to be right.
They will be right. And they also understand this, Big Ten play. Mm-hmm. And this is Big Ten play. It might be in December, but it's Big Ten play. I expect them to be ready to go. One of the areas where Wisconsin has had a lot of success has been on the offensive rebound. Well, what does Michigan State do really well? Rebound the basketball. So they're going to take away one of Wisconsin's strengths. Where does Wisconsin count? What do they do to make sure they're better in that area against Michigan State? That, to me, when you look at the game Tuesday, how does that happen? What do they do to separate themselves? Transition defense, we know that again. Like you play Michigan State, it's pounding in your head, they're going to run, get back. Where do you find those advantages within that game, knowing that one of your biggest advantages so far this year has been offensive rebounds, will most likely be taken away?
Yeah. You talk a lot about college basketball always delivers. You got to be paying attention. We had a great environment at the Kohl Center on Saturday. Breslin Center always has a great – that's one of your – I know Assembly Hall ranks pretty high. Breslin Center is probably on that list too, right?
It is. I think it's what college basketball is about, are those environments and how you do it. I think, to me, that's what I look at with this is it's a great opportunity yet again for this Badger team to prove to themselves first, but then to the nation, hey, we're here.
Then go to Arizona, which you and I talked about pre. I was watching some of their game against Michigan State, and I'm seeing these dudes, and they're men. I mean, Wisconsin's got guys who are men too, but don't get me wrong. But when you see a 7-footer and then some dude rolling in 7'2", and then just the athleticism, I mean, this is for real what Coach Lori has out there.
Oh, there's no question about it. Arizona's good. Now, we're going to say that about Purdue. We're going to say that about a lot of teams. Michigan State, they're real. This Marquette team, they're real. So you're going to say that. Now, what are you able to put out there what you want to do and how you want to go about your business and stick to what you are? Every team wants to take you out of your best.
Yeah.
Wisconsin, so far through the point, their best has been getting the ball down low, playing through the post, and then making plays because you have enough playmakers around there, and then defending, right? And I think that's the biggest thing is will they be able to make sure they stay who they are? That's the battle that college basketball always is. A team's going to try to take you out of that. Can you stay true to who you are?
They have a lot of guys on that team, obviously, who are for real at Arizona. They get Caleb Love, pretty good transfer. That thought it was going to be Michigan. Obviously, circumstances dictated him to go out west. But, a veteran guy who's played on the biggest stages, too. Plus, another guy, a transfer from San Diego State, who played in the national title game last
year. They've got experience. They've got youth. They've got athletes. They've got defenders. They've got guys that can flat out score the ball. They've got isolation play. I can give you all that. That's great. However, if you are able to put your will on what you do and say you're going to have to be better than us at what we do, gives you a chance. And I think that's the exciting thing.
You know, I think one thing about Wisconsin that's really exciting right now, we have seen when they play really well, they can play with everybody, and they had a lot of pieces play well. They're still trying to get Connor going. If they can find a way to get him going, and it's, you know, it's about rhythm, it's about confidence, whatever, if slash when that day comes, well, a good team becomes even better.
There's still growth with this team. That's the crazy thing. Connor, John Blackwell, Nolan Winter. I think we know what we have with Tyler Wall and Stephen Crowell. Mm-hmm. I still think, and we're seeing this with Chucky, I think there's growth in Chucky still, yep, to understand what a floor general is as far as player, but floor general, there's still growth within A.J. Storr as far as understanding defensive assignments. So like, as good as it is to beat the top three team in the country in Marquette and what the schedule is ahead, we still are not seeing where this Wisconsin basketball team will be 1 week from now, 3 weeks from now, 1 month from now, 2 months from now, because there's enough pieces around that still have to show growth.
Yeah, same with Greg Gard before game one. So it's a, you know, might be January before you really start to get a feel for rotations. Kind of to your point, this is still, it remains a work in progress, but it has certainly been a work in progress that's been fun to witness over these last couple of weeks. He's Brian Butch. We'll take one final break back to close things off on tonight's show right after this on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Want to get out of just about anything and look like an earth-saving hero? Just use the environment excuse. High school reunion? Ooh, sorry, can't. Planetary obligations. Unfortunate bridesmaid's dress? Unfortunately, you promised the climate you'd buy more vintage. Chauffeuring teens? Yeah, the earth really needs them to hoof it. That's right, the environment is always the best excuse. So go ahead, ask your bae to dim all the lights because carbon emissions. Tell your dad-bodded dad to eat more plants, for the planet, obviously. Kindly tell the kids to stop asking for a new phone. I mean, e-waste, right? Find your out and opt in to cutting carbon. Just visit theenvironmentexcuse.org. A public service announcement brought to you by WildAid.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy. You know what? We should make an emergency communication plan. That way we're ready this year. At my dorm, we have emergency kits for earthquakes and wildfires, but I'm sure there's something more local I can send you with a link.
Okay.
Smart.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
I'm Naheem Hines, professional football player and proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. My mom was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when I was 14, and I watched her struggle. But MDA helped her get the best treatments and care. And they also help kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. From day one, they've treated me like family at my local care center. MDA is the only one that funds over 150 care centers across the U.S. to help provide state-of-the-art care for adults and kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and other related neuromuscular diseases. They fund the research for breakthrough treatments, care, and cures. And MDA provides support to thousands of families like mine and Ethan's in communities like yours. Thanks to MDA, kids and adults can live life to its fullest. Join us and learn more at MDA.org today.
We thank Tyler Wall and Brian Butch for joining us on Coach Guard Show tonight. A Big Ten game going on this evening. Iowa taking on Purdue. Tomorrow, Indiana will be at the Chrysler Center in Ann Arbor taking on Michigan. Interesting out-of-conference game, too. The Jimmy V Classic at Madison Square Garden, Illinois against FAU. Two conference games on Wednesday. Penn State goes to College Park to take on Maryland. Nebraska
will be at Minnesota. Two out-of-conference games, Rutgers playing Wake Forest, and an in-state game in the state of Ohio, the Buckeyes taking on Miami University, a little Big Ten Mid-American Conference matchup there. Iowa takes on Iowa State on Thursday, and another Big Ten game on Saturday, Ohio State hitting the road, taking on the Penn State Nittany Lions. Our coverage tomorrow starts at 5 o'clock Central Time from East Lansing for the Badgers and Michigan State, and a 1 o'clock airtime on Saturday afternoon from Tucson before the Badgers square off with top-ranked Arizona. We'll talk to you tomorrow night from East Lansing on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
You've been listening to The Greg Gard Show, brought to you by SeatGeek, official ticket marketplace of the Wisconsin Badgers, and by UW Health Sports Medicine, treating the Badgers, treating you. Visit uwsportsmedicine.org. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Badger Sports Network.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Cloudy tonight with snow likely. Lows level off around 26. Winds out of the southeast around 5 miles per hour. Chance of snow tomorrow 37. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer.